You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So it's all for play for still.
I think so. Do you want to bet against us?
Hi, villains, and welcome to For the Love of Pomegranate podcast with no real game to talk about. But myself and Paddy are back to chat about an awful lot that's gone on this week. Paddy, how are you doing?
I'm not too bad, Neil. Missing football, obviously, but you know, it's not without reason that we don't have any. But other than that, I'm good. Yourself?
I'm good. Did you watch Wolves and West Brom today? God. Big Sam got one over on Nuno.
I've got kind of a system. You can't watch them all, so I tend to try and watch who we've got coming up in the near future. So the thoughts of sitting and watching a Big Sam team doesn't exactly appeal to me, but he ground out the result and I'm sure he's very happy tonight.
I watched a bit of snooker actually instead of watching some soccer recently because I just really want, like, I don't think any other team has the attacking intent and the flair that Villa do. But hell, I'm a fucking homer, and that is absolutely what it is. I just really enjoy watching Villa this year, and I'm not really too interested in any other teams. So I watched John Higgins and Ronnie O'Sullivan last night in the snooker, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I know you're not a massive snooker fan. I didn't expect you to watch it.
A very big snooker fan back in the day.
What was it? It must be darts. So it's darts that you didn't get into. That's what
darts
it was.
Darts I don't like.
No, that's what it was. But there's been a lot happening. I suppose, really, there's been a lot happening down in and around the Villa fraternity, or whatever way you want to call it, I think. So over the last couple of days, I suppose we better start off. We've had a couple of anniversaries, Paddy. Late Graham Taylor and late Cyril Regis have had their anniversaries recently. Do you want to talk a small bit about those? As I say, like, Graham Taylor would have been at the very, very start of my fandom of Aston Villa. His tenure would have been the start of my fandom with Aston Villa. And with Cyril Regis, I didn't see him play an awful lot with Aston Villa. But do you have any real memories of Cyril Regis playing for Villa?
Yeah, well, I remember the first day I went to Villa Park when, you know, told the story before, when Steve Staunton got us into the players' lounge, myself and my dad. And Cyril Regis just really struck me as a really good guy. And as time went on, and, you know, since his passing, and I talked to friends who would have known him quite well, he's just really highly thought of. And, you know, the stuff that he did for black players in the UK. You know, he was not he huge. Was a real trailblazer in yeah. So, you know, there are two like I suppose Graham Taylor be largely remembered fondly for his first time in charge with us, and how he rebuilt us up again. But you know, great memories of both of them. They're obviously stalwarts of the club, and it's sad that they, you know, their memory very fondly this week with all of those that remember. I suppose there's a whole generation now coming through that wouldn't have any memories of either of them. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's great to have experienced Cyril Regis play. He was a fantastic footballer. He really was a real old-fashioned centre forward. A joy to watch, and you know, always gave 110%.
Yeah, the only, like, as I say, very tail end of my of his career was when I started following Villa. So I didn't really see him with Villa that much. I do have a slight connection with Cyril Regis. My cousin plays professionally in the UK, and Cyril Regis was his agent, and was actually his agent. I'm almost certain was his agent at the time of his passing as well. So yeah, so there was a, you know, I suppose my cousin would have known him very, very well, and would have trusted him and appreciated him and so on. So that's really my big tie to Cyril Regis. As I say, I didn't see him play that much as a player, but overwhelming outpouring for the man and for Graham Taylor. God, like I've barely said anything about Graham Taylor at all. Man basically put Villa right up at the top of the tree again, you know. And two big names, two big auras around, I think, around both people, I think. Yeah, and sadly missed.
Absolutely.
But yeah, as I say, there's been a lot going on down around Villa. I think COVID, that thing that seems to be still hanging around and won't fuck off.
Not going anywhere, is it?
No, it just isn't, unfortunately. Anyway, it's not going anywhere quickly enough for me anyway at this stage. But had a bit of an impact. Last podcast we did, it was just literally breaking as we were finishing up the podcast that there was a COVID outbreak amongst the players. We did the Liverpool game in between that, but we seem to be coming out the other side of the COVID impact. Some teams, obviously, Jose isn't exactly too enamored with us getting some games postponed, and you see the odd, you see a lot of social media kind of conversation around the fact that we're getting preferential treatment. Paddy, did you ever think you'd hear the day that Aston Villa were getting preferential treatment over COVID-19 precautions?
Yeah, and not one person recalls the fact that we automatically said straight away to Newcastle, we've no problem postponing the game. You know, that's the way it works here. We're in the middle of a pandemic. If anybody thinks we're getting preferential treatment, they need their head examined. And I'm not even going to get started on Jose, because Jose, when his team aren't doing well, will just spend the time deflecting onto someone else. And we know only too well what he's capable of.
Yeah,
the man's a bully. He's always been a bully. And if he doesn't get his way, he throws his dummy out of the pram. So I've absolutely no time for him whatsoever.
Mm. Yeah, it's
sooner the better. These big clubs see through him, because he's not good for the game. I don't think his attitude is good for the game. He absolutely stinks. So I won't sit on the fence with that one.
I know. There always needs to be a pantomime villain, should I say, and he definitely plays up to it. But look, he got his cough softened. I think that's actually a horrible analogy. I'm so sorry. I actually didn't mean to use that analogy in that aspect. But his tail was put between his legs, I think, is probably a better way of saying it. When Fulham went out and got that 1-1 draw against him, and you know, that I presume that didn't put him in a good mindset, you know, afterwards. And he probably hates us even more, which is his 100% inalienable right to do so.
Well, it was a load of rubbish. You know, they had a game Sunday night, and they found out Monday morning that the Villa game was off. By that stage, you wouldn't have worked on any other game anyway. So it was a load of crap. Which is the usual with Jose, you know. It's just deflecting. That's all it is, you know.
Yeah, it's
I don't know what more he can say about him. Like everyone that's outside his club knows what he's like. You know, you wouldn't be telling a Spurs fan, you know, they can see what he's doing wrong. But we've seen it over the years with the clubs. It's just all about deflecting from the fact that he's had a bad result and an inexcusable result. And if he's telling me he was concentrating on Villa before he played Marine, he's not a good manager, because that's not how this works. You've got your 3 days in between to go working on it. That's when you go working on playing Villa. I doubt they were even on the training pitch on Monday morning, because they would have been in recovery from the night before. So it's absolute crap. He knows his crap. And anyone that knows anything about football knows it's crap. So, Jose, you had a shit result. Hold your hands up and say, I had a shit result and get on with it.
Yeah. You mentioned there the Spurs fans won't be able to see past it. Yeah, but look, I can say 100% sincerity that if Jose Mourinho was the manager of Aston Villa, I would be defending him to the hilt as well. So, you know, I can see how fans
I pray to God that never happens, because it'll be the end of me watching him until he's gone.
Because There's no one in the club, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's an absolute shit show, and I hope he's never anywhere near my club anyway, that's for sure.
Anyway,
from running down the line against Porto against Man United, and even before that when they played Celtic in the UEFA Cup, I have a complete dislike for him going on nearly 20 years now, so... Yeah. Good luck to him, but stay the hell away from my club. That's all I'll say.
Well, we've got our own maestro anyway, Dean Smith, and that brings us on nicely, I suppose. We'll take a segue, absolutely, should I say, from there, because we will talk about the congestion that's coming down the line with COVID impact. But Dean Smith, manager in the month for December, thoroughly deserved. I don't think I need to say anything more on that. But what's your views on it, Paddy?
No, absolutely deserved. We only conceded one goal in the month. We're playing like even Jose said that we're the second favorite team in the Premier League. So we're a joy for everyone to watch. I think we're a breath of fresh air to the league. On a personal note, watching him with the award in his hand, he looked very well. Obviously, we've got to worry about who has COVID and who doesn't, whether they've got symptoms or not. But he looked very well. He looked himself. So that was nice to see. Yeah, I just hope that everything in their preparation is going well and they're back on the training pitch tomorrow. So, fingers crossed, everybody is able to train and everybody's symptoms, if they have them, have passed, and that everybody's in good health.
Yeah, that's something that I think is sometimes overlooked. And, you know, when you see that people are complaining about preferential treatment and stuff like that, that it's overlooked, that... It can affect athletes too. Just because they're fit and they're young doesn't mean that they're not going to have lasting effects. Or it's not a case of, okay, you have it 10 days time, you're going to be absolutely fantastic, you're going to be top of the world again. You know, it could take them a month, 6 weeks to come back up to speed to the fitness levels that they were at before. It's great to see players like Matty Cash training a lot, you know, at home. I've seen a lot of Instagram posts of him training. Jack on the treadmill, Douglas Luiz in the treadmill. I know that Trezeguet came out and said he actually had COVID. We never found out who actually had it and who didn't. It's safe to say the majority of them did, considering there was 10 players that had it, you know. So good to see that they're up in the treadmills, they're feeling fit and healthy enough to do that. And you know, just because they had it, I suppose, as well, the counter argument to that is just because they had it doesn't mean they had any symptoms either. But those that did have symptoms, it made, you know, we're not expecting them to hit the ground running. And look, when the team is announced for on the 20th against City, which is what, in this coming... What, Thursday, Friday?
Wednesday.
Yep. This coming Wednesday for the City game, like, don't be surprised to see maybe one or two names that you might have expected to play not playing, because maybe they might be experiencing more severe symptoms than others and just still coming around from it. Just from my knowledge of NFL, a lot of the teams in the NFL, like a lot of players follow the Browns and a lot of the players that there have had it, and players like Myles Garrett, who's an absolute phenomenal freak of an athlete, he's still suffering with it and at times has to come out of games, and which had never been the case before. You know, he's talking about how he gets out of breath very easily. And these are guys who are making short bursts a lot of the time and get off the field for a rest and then go back on for short bursts. So could you imagine if somebody who's tasked with consistent movement for 90 minutes and having to go through 10K and on off sprints and stuff like that? It may affect people more than not. And by
all accounts, there's a couple of Newcastle players that it has affected in the long term. That haven't even come back.
Is it Lascelles?
Since they were out with
Jermaine Lascelles?
Is it Lascelles? I didn't look into it too much. Yeah. But you never know how it's going to affect you from at any level. So you know, we just got to hope that everybody is okay and safe, and their families are safe, and that's the most important thing for now. And said the football is secondary when it comes to your health. So I wish them all a speedy recovery. Whoever's had it, we know Trezeguet has had it. Chances are those players you named that were up in treadmills, one of them may have had it, but they're just out the other side now, hopefully. So, it'll be an interesting few days. We probably won't find out everybody that had it. And bear in mind, it was four staff members, coaches or whatever had it as well. So there's always worrying times for the club. So Wednesday can come soon enough that we can all get back to some kind of semblance of reality with Villa playing. And I'm not gonna lie, it's a kind of thing you worry about no matter who gets it. You know, like we're all worrying about our parents and our friends and colleagues and everything. So when you hear, for us, Villa is the one release that we've got from all this mayhem. Albeit we're going to be sick of looking at them.
That's just what I wanted to say. Yeah, we've missed them for the last 10 days, and now we're going to have fucking, what is it?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 6 games in 14 days, which is pretty mental.
Yeah. Bonkers. Yeah.
6 games in 17 days.
But look, it's great to be able to watch it. It's great to be able to watch it. You know, we've got some good games in there and good games that we can take points from. So, as I said, we've got Man City. We'll probably tell a tale during the week to where we're at fitness level or fitness wise, and who's up to the challenge. So, I know we're not allowed to say it's a free hit. So I hope we go and beat Man City. But we've got Newcastle, Burnley, Southampton, West Ham that we would hope we go and definitely take points off. So
then Arsenal on the 6th.
Then Arsenal.
The 6th of February. Then as well,
it's easy to take points off them.
Yeah, we're their bogey team at the moment. Yeah, so long may that continue too. It's a packed schedule. It's a packed schedule. It's also, there are teams that are hitting nice form. There are West Ham, Southampton, obviously City and Arsenal, Burnley and Newcastle there as well. You know, there's a mix of teams in there as well. I actually think, and we haven't said it an awful lot this so far this year, but we're probably coming up to a little 6-game canyon that will tell us a little bit more about where we're going to finish in the league. You know, these are six games now in a short space of time that could rocket us up the league. We're still in touching distance of winning the league, lest we forget this whole thing. We are in touching distance of winning of the top of this league, but these six games could drop us back to 14th very easily.
They'll define our season without a doubt. You know, if you're not pulling points out of these games, especially the ones in between Man City and Arsenal, are the ones I would be targeting. Obviously, it's a different challenge playing Man City, and who knows? Maybe we'll turn over Man City and lose to the likes of Burnley. Who knows? But as I said, I just hope everybody is fit, healthy, and able to play, because we're going to need everybody. With 6 games in such a short period of time, this is a squad rotation thing that's going to have to happen. We're going to pick up. There's a few on 4 yellow cards, isn't there?
Yeah.
And we're still a couple of games before the amnesty kicks in. So, you know, we're going to have to be careful and mindful of that. So we don't want to be without our I won't say better players, but our first choice players, you know, unless we have to. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully, we'll see Ross Barkley back as well. He's had enough of a rest now. It's nearly a month since he was back training just before Christmas by the time he plays Man City next week. So you got to hope that, bear in mind that he may have picked up the virus as well, but you got to hope that he's fit and ready and raring to go now. So we'll be a completely different team with him in it. So I'm sure we'll find out closer to the time what the story is there.
Yeah. And for a team that's as threadbare as we are at the moment, we need all those players back, because six games, as I mentioned, in 17 days is going to be tough going. You know, at the moment, we're ninth in the league as it stands. West Ham have just leapfrogged us as their game is nearly over now. But it's they've leapfrogged us at the moment. We've three games on those. We've four games in hand on Wolves, and we're 4 points ahead of them. We've four games in hand. That's pretty mental. I genuinely would not, if you were to give me odds of 1,000 to 1, I wouldn't have put that money on at this stage, that we would have four games in hand of Wolves and be 4 points ahead of them. That's pretty mental. Crazy. You know, so we're coming into a nice little canyon of games here now, and there's going to need to be squad rotation. The under-23s played during the week, and I'm completely blanking on the result against West Brom right now. Paddy, save me.
They won 2-1.
I thought I was going to say 2-0. I couldn't remember if it was 2-1 or 2-0. But we may need to see some rotation there. But one person we won't see was one of the goal scorers, was Henry Lansbury. We're not going to see him play for the... Well, actually, maybe he can be registered again. He can be registered again now that the window is open, I think. So we might see
possibly
him.
Possibly, but they'd have to deregister somebody to get him in.
Yeah, ourselves.
So unless we sell someone... Yeah. Unless we sell someone by the end of the month, that may not happen.
And before we start talking about selling and buying and so on, because I do think we will see new faces and some familiar faces leave, and some faces that we would have a lot of time for may leave, and we may see new faces come in. Before we do that, that under-23 squad that played yesterday, and even maybe the Liverpool game, do you think that gives Dean Smith maybe some food for thought with potential squad rotation over the six game spread, that maybe we might see a Kane Hayden Kessler in there, or we might see I'd have absolutely no problem with it, or we might maybe see more Jacob Ramsey, we might see Louis Barry maybe coming off the bench from time to time. Who knows? What's your views on that? Do you think that's a goer, or do you think that it's just not in Dean's makeup?
I think with the exception of Ramsey, as you say, has already been in there, it's probably a bit too early for these guys. And I don't mean that in early for them to play. I mean, we spoke about where we're going to be at the end of these six games. I think that might be where, you know, if we drop off and there's maybe a little chance of Europe, or if there's still chance of Europe, I can't see anybody coming in. But if we're sitting in mid-table, I think it's an ideal opportunity to get guys in there and see, you know, are they up for this, or are they just going to be, someone we ship on when they hit 2021? And, you know, it's no harm to find out at that stage. Like, obviously, we've great hopes for the likes of Jacob Ramsey, as you say, Hayden Kessler, Louis Barry. You know, I think there's a nucleus there of five or six that I would say we'd have no problem putting in if needed to put in, but I think at the moment it will be just if they're needed. And it'll be interesting Wednesday, because we might need a few of them to make up the squad if there's a few people still struggling. But obviously, you know, they've kept everything in house, so we don't know where everybody is at. But the only person that told us how everyone is doing is Jurgen Klopp, who told the media that Dean Smith had said that everyone was doing okay, and, you know, it wasn't anything serious. And we've got to hope that that's the case. But if there was people missing on Wednesday night, you may see some of those younger guys coming into the squad. And I have no problem with it. I just wouldn't like to have to play this run of games with using three or four of them, even in the first team, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. The guys that you mentioned, Ramsey and Kane Hayden, I'm just going to call him Kane Hayden because he puts Hayden on the back of his shirt. I hope I'm not disgracing his family name or anything like that. But it's just, I'll be honest with you, I struggle to remember whether it's Hayden Kessler or Kessler Hayden every single time I say his name. So I'm just going to call him Hayden. Just takes it out of it. It's my stupidity. Nothing to do with me disrespecting his name. I'd have no problem seeing him come in there. Like, I saw enough against Liverpool for me to know that if he had Mings, Konsa, and he predominantly can play right or left back. So if he had Mings, Konsa, yeah, Matty Cash, or Matt Target, I've seen enough. I've seen enough from him in one game, and this is going to be counterproductive to what I'm going to say in a moment about some players that maybe we've let out on loan. That I've seen enough from this guy. I just like the look of him. The talk about him is good. I'd have no problem seeing him come in the fullback position, but we'll see. As we say, we'll see. I'd be less apprehensive of seeing him come into a game than I would have seen Louis Barry have to come on up front. Much and all as I love Louis Barry, and I think he can do the business. I prefer to wrap him in cotton wool for a small bit, but that's me being risk averse with somebody who has the potential to be somebody like that is just an absolute titan of in an Aston Villa shirt. So I'm kind of more or less protecting my investment with Louis Barry. Not to say that Kane Hayden isn't an investment for the club, but I think that he'll have a bit more support playing in a back four than playing in a lone striker's role up front. And we know how much that can damage a striker. But yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting to see what does happen from a squad rotation aspect, and I suppose really just from a points accumulation aspect from those six games as well. Couple of the 23s there that I'd be very surprised if we saw them on the bench or if we saw them in the first team would be some new contract getters, professional contract signers that we've had. Ben Cressene signed a contract, as did Lamar Bogard, tied down to the club for indeterminate period of time, because I've left out the amount of years that they've signed for here on my sheet of paper. But they have signed, and they have signed professional contracts, and hopefully they grow and move on towards the first team, because I definitely saw enough in Bogard to know that at 17 years of age, he seems pretty decent. And Ben Cressene has played five games, senior games for Exeter. So, you know, a club that has spawned the likes of Eton Ampadu previously, if they're willing to give him the shirt, he must show some sort of promise as well.
Absolutely. I think it's great. You know, there's a lot of good vibes coming out. You know, obviously that bit of news. And then you've got three guys going out on loan. Tarek Wright going to Walsall.
Yes.
Which is probably probably the biggest of the moves. And then the two guys going to non-league clubs in Clonmore going to Hereford, and Dominic Revan going to Weymouth. But they're you know, I would have preferred them to go to, as I said to you before we came on air, I'd rather they went to football league clubs and saw what they were made of. But look, it'll make men of them. It's they're tough places to go and play football, and it'll really toughen them up and give them some experience of what it's like to play in the rough and tumble of that as well. So best of luck to them. You know, I've great hopes for, you know, especially Tarek Wright, because I've been following his career, obviously, because there's an Irish connection. And Callum Rowe, as we saw against Liverpool, was fantastic. And Dominic Revan just looks like he's one for the future. So important to get them out, get them game time, and see how they hold up with that. And see, I'm sure the scouts will be down there on a weekly basis, seeing what's going on. And Dean will be getting plenty of tapes, watching how these guys are progressing. Another guy we must mention, famous for the last minute goal against Sheffield United, is Andre Green, who's found himself a club in Sheffield Wednesday. So best of luck to him. You know, obviously didn't work out for him, but you know, once a villain, you always look out for them. So
yeah,
best of luck to him. You know, and it's a good move. Sheffield Wednesday is a good move. I'd consider him a championship player. So, you know, I think with us being in the Premier League and staying in the Premier League, probably we're a step too high for him. And who knows, maybe he'll go on and prove us wrong and reinvent himself down there, and who knows where he'll push on to later on.
Maybe so, yeah. Just want to chime in on the guys going to National League as opposed to Football League side of things.
Yeah.
I think that there is probably an argument to be made that it's all well and good when you've got kids coming up through the ranks. And this could be a Dean Smith thing as well. And I'd like to go back and see Mark Harrison's philosophy on this when he was with West Brom, and see what he did with the likes of players that have come up through there. Like, I think when he had was Izzy Brown was with them at 16, and then he moved on to Chelsea, and all these players that went out, that they sent on loan from West Brom. I could be wrong on Izzy Brown, whether Mark Harrison was there or not. be interesting to see what he's done there. And I'm wondering, is it a case whereby they know they're good technically, they're good at the tappy-tippy piece, they're good with the ball at their feet, they're slight. Is it a case to get him, to send him down there and get him, especially like for someone like Dominic Revan, you know, he's a big, strong boy. Is it a case of, right, you're a big, massive, strong individual playing at under 23 level, and you're probably more physically dominant than a lot of the players are going to play against. Let's throw you, let's pop you down in a league that's very much keep the ball in the air and have a strong man up top and get him to play against Weymouth, play for Weymouth against some of those teams. Maybe it could be something like that. Maybe with Callum Rowe. Maybe Callum Rowe has shown the fact that he's very good technically with the ball. That slide rule pass they're still talking about for the goal. Maybe he's shown he's really good with his feet, but maybe he's been a small bit, you know, out muscled, or he's just something like that. Maybe he, and at 23's level, you may not get the opportunity to develop in that way. But if you send him down to, you know, to the lower leagues where you've got semi pros,
well, I suppose the main thing that worries with me, you know, they're down Hereford and Weymouth, and absolutely no disrespect to these guys, but I doubt they're full time professionals, and that's the worry from my point of view. I know Callum Rowe is playing for Hereford. Chances are he could be still training with the academy and going down to Hereford on whatever days they're training or whatever evenings they're training or whatever. But you wouldn't be travelling up and down to Weymouth. So, you know, I don't know how it works out, but I was just a little bit disappointed from that point of view. It's a day in, day out ruffle and tumble of being involved in a professional outlet. And that's all I was worried about.
I don't know. Is the, like, if they went to a struggler in League Two, would there be much of a difference in playing in a struggler in League Two than I would be playing in a National League team? I just don't know. I don't know if it's like, if they came to play in the League of Ireland, would we have been saying it was good for their development? And this is where my criticism comes in, because I would imagine I would be very surprised if a lot of the League of Ireland teams weren't at a higher level than the National League teams in the UK. So I suppose I just don't know. I don't know what the thought process is behind it. But, you know, as well, when you say, are they full-time professionals in that league? It could, you know, are you really a full-time professional if you're only 16, 17 years of age and you're going through your YTS, well, what used to be YTS, and you're still learning in school and so on as well. Now, I know the two guys who've gone down are in their 20s. Yeah. Maybe that might have something to do with it. The fact that maybe they're not seen. Maybe they're not seen as part of the future for Villa. You know, we're presuming they were, because they played against Liverpool in the Cup and they both played pretty well. But, you know, one swallow does not a summer make, you know. So it's it could be a situation. I hope it's not. But, you know, it could be a situation. I don't know.
Well, I'd be surprised if they're not being considered to be part of the first team setup. So it'll be interesting to see how the next 5 or 6 months pan out for them on their travels. So best of luck to them anyway. That's the most important thing. And may they stay fit and healthy and play plenty of games.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A couple of other lads that have been mooted to move on are two guys that I suppose polarize fans in a lot of ways. We're very much on the Conor Horan train, and he's been linked with Swansea recently, and apparently Swansea and Celtic are very, very interested in bringing him to their clubs, which it's nice to have a bidding war, whether it's on loan or whether it's a full-time transfer. A guy I wouldn't begrudge a move whatsoever, I do think we will be signing midfielders, plural, I think, maybe in this transfer window. And I'd love if he stayed, but if he feels he needs to go, and I wouldn't blame him one bit for feeling he needs to go, I think he could do a fantastic job for Swansea, and he could eat it up north in Scotland as well, and maybe even play Champions League football. Who knows? So, be disappointed to see him go, but I don't think he owes us much more than he's given us already if he does decide to go.
No, well, you know, I make no apologies for the fact of saying that he's been a hero of mine since he came and scored some really valuable goals and delivered some really valuable set pieces over the years. As you said, he divides fans, but I think, you know, if you look across the board, if you if he was to go, there would be an outpouring of thanks to mm-hmm. him for what he's done. You know, there's a long list. You know, the goal against Newcastle last year, the goal against Baggies in the playoff semi-final. You know, you could go on and on. He's carved out such a career for himself. It's just unfortunate that he doesn't fit into our system. I think if we had a different manager or a different manager coming in, I think he probably might be tying Connor down to another contract, but who knows? I think we all know at this stage that Dean is there for the long term, and for as long as Dean plays the way he is, I just can't see how Connor would fit into the system. And it's unfortunate. You know, as I said, he's a hero of mine. I get Hourihan on my jersey every year, so I'll be very disappointed to see him go. So, you know, whatever happens, best of luck to him, and he'll always hold a place in Villa fans' hearts. Well, most of them anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. The other guy as well is Freddie Guilbert. Some say he's criminally underused. I float between two stools in Freddie Guilbert sometimes. Attacking intent is absolutely there. His meaty challenges are fantastic. But I just think Matty Cash is better. And it's not to say that Freddie Guilbert is a bad player or anything like that. I'd love him to stay around. We spoke about Kane Hayden earlier on there as being potentially the usurper of Freddie Guilbert's position within the squad. But he's been linked, Fred has, with Cardiff. We seem to be doing a lot of business with Wales. There's times like that where we do. Was it during the summer? Everybody we had was linked with Turkish teams. It's like as if they just pick a region and they just link all our players there. Yeah, so Freddie Guilbert off to Cardiff. Well, it's advanced talks on loan to Cardiff.
Yeah.
I think he'd be absolutely sparkling down in the Championship. I think he'd be unbelievable down there, and he'll probably...
I think he would. And to be fair to him, he never really let us down. He had a couple of mistakes.
Like, but
they weren't costly mistakes. I think reading between the lines, he's been told, look, once Matty Cash is fit, he'll play every game. I don't know. He still has another year of his contract, if memory serves me correct. So it probably won't be going out on a... You know, I can't see him being sold in this window. But then again, you never know. If he's been deemed surplus to requirements, if the right offer came in, I'm sure they wouldn't refuse. We have Elmo there as a backup. And as you say, Kane Hayden Kessler is there as well. So, you know, we have an embarrassment of riches. Edric Conze has played there in the past. You know, that there's a whole lot of things we can do at right back. I'd be more concerned at left back than right back, obviously. But as I said, Matty Cash is obviously his first choice. So the chances for Freddie to get in there are limited, and it will absolutely do him no harm to go out and play games at Championship level and get some experience for himself. And I've not lost complete faith that he could do a job for us. I think the option will still be there for him. So, you know, wherever he decides to go, I hope it goes well for him. And who knows what kind of player we get back in the summer.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, as I say, some of these guys might be being sent out because we want to make space for, not that they're not up to the role, but maybe there's players that we want to sign. And we've been linked with two or three players, and mention any more if they come to mind, Paddy. But David Brooks, someone who I actually was all about signing during the off season in the summer, the short off season.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant player. I'm going to come back to him. I think he's fantastic. The kid from Reading, Olise, is up there, is been muted as well with an 8 million release clause, which falls well within our budget, which is pretty good for French under 19 with the amount of games he has under his belt. He's only 18 years of age. And Josh King keeps on getting linked a lot of the time in the media by people.
He's not gone away, is he?
No, he's not gone away, but he's also not putting anything in the back of the net either. So I'm wondering why he's being linked. You know, and I'm actually going to start there because I kind of got what they were doing. I kind of got what they were doing at the at during the summer when we were being linked. But he's not really tore it up down the championship. And yes, they've had a new manager. The Tindall is taking over the reins there. Maybe he is sulking a bit because he feels that he's at a better level. But are we still at the same place with Josh King? Would we be signing him because of his industry up front? And he would be an Ollie Watkins light, albeit without the goals?
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that, you know, some people say Ollie Watkins chips in with a few goals here and there. He's quite similar in that way. But Ollie Watkins does a completely different game to him in the work rate he puts in throughout the whole game. I could see... I honestly can't see this happen for a number of reasons. The main one being Bournemouth are still, you know, pushing for automatic promotion, and they're not too far off it. So for that reason, I can't see them letting him go without having a ready enabled replacement there for him. They seem to be struggling with goals. Solanke isn't scoring any either. So. It'll be interesting, but it's not. I don't think it's the kind of signing we needed, or need. I wasn't too pushed on him in the summer. There were a lot of people crying out for him, but I think we got the better signing in getting Ollie Watkins in the summer.
Yeah.
But
do you think?
And bear in mind that I think so. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Considering Josh King has played 10 games in the championship this year and hasn't scored yet.
Yeah. But I think what we've seen Ollie Watkins do without the ball is equally as important. Yes. As I said, you're not worried about your strikers chipping in with goals because everybody else around them is chipping in with goals because of the hard work and everything else that he does in the intermediary. So he's a different type of player for me. He's not a direct replacement. And bear in mind that we've got Wesley coming back in a few weeks. Striker may not be top of him. I know a lot of people are crying out for a striker. I'd like to see another midfielder or possibly a left back now. I think that's... And the longer this goes on, the less realistic that it gets, because, you know, we've effectively lost 2 weeks here now with this COVID outbreak. Obviously, the manager can't meet anybody or talk to anybody, or there's no medicals or, you know, trial games or anything going away. I know we had... His name escapes me. The goalkeeper last night was on trial for the under-23s.
Louis Moulden.
From Bolton, yeah.
No, Louis Moulden. Born in Bolton from Man City. England under-19 keeper, wasn't he? Yeah.
So there's obviously little things like this going on in the background. So who knows what have we got? We've about 2 weeks left in the transfer window now. So it's... I honestly can't see us doing too much. I wouldn't be surprised if we did nothing. But I guess a lot will depend on what goes out in the next week or so. And realistically, you know, it's going to be hard for us to shift the likes of Henry Lansbury. I know he's gone the end of the month or the end of the season anyway, because his contract is up. You know, be more realistic to try and get a small fee in for the likes of Conor Hourihan and obviously Freddie out on loan or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, it'll be a strange couple of weeks. But as I said, if nothing comes in, I'm okay. And if we make a couple of signings, I'll be happy. As I said, I've utmost faith in the management team there. So I'm sure they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm. If we were to burn money on a championship striker, and I know everyone's going to be screaming, going, of course it's Ivan Toney. Yes, he's scored a ton of goals. I just have an awful, and I've since he was a kid at like how many years ago was it? No, seven. Yeah, he was only about 16, and he came on for Newcastle, and he was tiny. He was only like 5'8", and I'm only about 5'8" myself. You know, so I've got a graph for the small fellas. Adam Armstrong at Blackburn Rovers is a little wasp up front. Really good finisher of the ball and just a real, real handful at championship level. If we were going to go away and spend 8 or 9 million on a striker, that's who I'd be signing from the championship. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That's just blindless speculation from me. But we have been linked, as I say, with I do think we're going to sign people, Paddy. Maybe not a striker, but we have been linked with David Brooks. And I'm going to go I'm just going to go for it with David Brooks. I think if David Brooks comes and signs for Aston Villa, we will have an absolute star on our hands, starlet on our hands, should I say. This guy would be at United or at a top club only for the fact that he had a bad injury in 2018, 2019. And when he had moved to Bournemouth, he's shown his pedigree at the top level. He's only 23 years of age. He really has it all. Could probably stand to put out a small bit more meat in the bones. At 23, I thought he would have had that done by now, but maybe the injuries and stuff like that have limited positive weight gain, I think. But the guy is very, very good. Technically, he's excellent. He's just a very fluid runner. He can carry the ball. Having him on one side, having Jack on the other side, having him in the middle as a replacement for Ross Barkley, even having the three guys rotate around in that three behind the striker would be absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. He can attack from various different positions, and he's brilliant at dribbling with the ball, which is something that we lack when teams double team Jack. Although very rarely that they can do it, but when Ross Barkley was out of the team, we lacked another dribbling threat of the ball. You know, he's just a real, real technician with it. Can cross the ball. He takes shots from long range. He's just really, really good. And the best thing I like about him is that he's not adverse to track back. He's very good defensively as well. He's just all action. And at 23 years of age, you know, having spent maybe 13 months out of the game with an injury, this guy's ready to grab the bull by the horns and just get at it for a Premier League team. And I'd be delighted to see him. It's going to cost the Bones 20 million to sign him. I'd have absolutely no problem with him in my team. None whatsoever. Because he can play in four or five different positions in that midfield.
I think no matter who you sign now, if they're any way decent, you're looking at 20 million. I think that's just par for the course now at this stage. I'm not going to proclaim to know an awful lot about him. I saw him a couple of times playing for Wales and he really impressed me. I don't recall watching Bournemouth at all this season, mainly because of just so many Premier League games that you can watch at the drop of a hat. So it would be down the pecking order of what I'd want to watch. So, look, as you say, I don't argue with it. You know, everything you say is what I saw in those two games that he played for Wales. I think the game he played against Ireland in particular, I thought he was brilliant. The fact that we're talking about it and the fact that the media are talking about it, there might be something to it. I would much rather it be him than King if we're going to take someone from Bournemouth. I just think he has a lot in his locker. You know, he's a fantastic left foot as well. So, you know, we'll see. I'm going on the fence with that one, and I'd be okay with it. And if we missed out, I wouldn't be too upset either.
I would be upset. I'd be upset if he went to United. I'd be upset if he went to United or someone like that, and it turned out that we weren't actually in for him, because I just think. I think a lot of the time previously in transfer windows that I've been looking at names over function and functionality within the team, and we have a concerted effort, and we've actually spoke about it when the kids played against Liverpool, that they played very, very similarly, even down to the goalkeeper kicking balls to, you know, right out to the extremities of the field and trying to win the headers, that there seems to be a concerted effort to play the game all the way down through the club. So there's an ethos here. And we're going to see players maybe signed that may not be huge names that people will go, oh, I wonder what he's going to bring to the team. And that's exactly why he was signed, because of something he's going to bring to the team, not because it's something he's brought to another team, if that makes sense. So we might see players that are signed. And this is, I'm being probably hypocritical as well, because I just said, Josh King, he hasn't scored in the Championship. But he's doing that for another team. And, you know, we're going to be looking to sign players for what they can do for us within our system as well. And that brings me on to the last guy that I mentioned as well, is blanking on his first name. I think it's Michael Olise from Reading. And I'm feverishly here trying to type very, very lightly so that you don't hear me flaking the keyboard here to try and get his name. Very, very well thought of. Not going to pretend that I know a massive amount about him other than he's 19. He's a French under 19 international. He's an 8 million release clause. But I did what every other self-respecting person who thinks that they know anything about football did when I heard his name is, I went and I watched a YouTube clip to some funky Europop for about 8 minutes, and I immediately made my decision on him. No, I'm only joking. I didn't. I watched about 10 of them, and then I immediately made my decision on him. Hard to make a decision on him because, look, he's got a small sample set. But once again, I think what I like, the overarching feeling that I got from seeing him was this guy is technically proficient. He glides over the grass. He really does. And this is only just from his those best skills of 2019 things. So this is by no means a scouting report that Michael Olise. But he does run very, very easily. And that's something I like to see. Another ball carrier, which I think this is something Dean Smith wants to get into the club to help Jack Grealish and to help Ross Barkley. Can get to the byline, has a trick in him. He's a flair player. He's tall, like he's 5'10 at 19 years of age. Another guy who needs to put on a small bit of weight, can play from the wing or can play from the center. You know, I could definitely see him come in. I would feel confident in being able to tell you exactly how David Brooks would play for Aston Villa. This guy, I'm not 100% sure. I haven't seen enough of him. But would I be disappointed if we brought him in for 8 million? I'd nearly be saying, should we spend fucking, what was that lad we bought from Reading recently as well? Defensive midfielder went up to Kilmarnock. What was his name? Jesus, I'm having an absolute nightmare remembering names today. I'm usually pretty good. But anyway, that guy, Tishbola. We spent like nearly 6 million on him. So if we're throwing another 2 million on top of it for French under 19 international, I think that in this day and age that we should be able to do that. And I think that, look, if it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. But we need to start thinking like a big club. And I think 8 million for a player with unbridled potential, that the French, the French Federation must think something of him to say they're picking him up from a championship club in England as well, you know, to play for the under 19s. So that's something to look at too. But it's interesting. It's all flair attacking players that we're being linked to it. And especially when we have a very defensive-minded coaching ticket with John Terry, Richard Kelly, and Dean Smith as well. It's interesting. I like it.
Well, I think all the attacking flair is coming from Craig Shakespeare as well. So, look, he's quite obviously the type of player that would fit our system. He's obviously not the finished article just yet. There's a long way to go with him, but the potential is there. He's one I'd be happy with. I don't know an awful lot about him either, other than a friend of mine who lives in Reading sent me the article when we were linked and just said, hands off, he's our best player. I do not want to lose this guy. So that in itself speaks a lot, you know. And they're knocking around the higher end of the championship as well. So they'll want to hold on to their prize assets. But, you know, I think the key thing here is that there seems to be a release fee there. And once that's met, everything else is out the window. So if we want them, go and get them. That's what I say.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100%. And look, I've mentioned the coaching ticket there. Let's not forget Rob McKenzie. I nearly fell off the chair when we signed him as our head of recruitment. And I haven't spoken about him since. So he's going to be pulling the strings back there as well, making sure that we can identify people who fit into the system. And once again, another under the radar brilliant thing that Aston Villa did during this summer. We talked about Harrison, we talked about Shakespeare, McKenzie as well. Like, we've really solidified the actual machine behind the mechanisms behind the machine, should I say. And it's just going to be exciting stuff from here on in. Paddy, we've waffled for nearly an hour. It's been a long time since we've done done one for nearly an hour, but it's been enjoyable. We haven't spoken together. In
not even spoken
week,
about man. VAR once. Brilliant.
Yeah, and we've only put someone under he's an absolute bollock step as well once as well with Jose Mourinho. So it's been a pretty positive podcast. All things considered, absolutely, guys. Before we go, I want to give a little shout out to. A guy who reached out to me. First of all, I want to give a shout out to Kieran O'Callaghan. Sound man for those mugs. I had no idea what was being dropped off at my door. That is unbelievably sound of you. And thanks a million for all the support that you always give. But there's a guy on Twitter, guys, at Apparel Goat E, and it's APPARELGOATEE. So you'll see it. It's Goat Designs. I shared it on Twitter last night. He's got some pretty cool stuff up there. If you're into like posters and stuff like that, he's got some really, really great designs. Got chatting to him last night and, not affiliated with him or anything like that. I just like the cut of his jib. And he's a new guy getting started off out. So I said I'd give him a mention here on the podcast. He does have a 10% off code if anybody wants to use it. It's TPP10. That's TPP10. And that's Goat Designs. You'll find him on Twitter and you'll be able to see all his stuff there. As I say, just trying to help out somebody that I got chatting to on Twitter in the last few days. New guy getting started out. So if anybody's looking at, maybe he's got a class Dean Smith and Jack Grealish poster up there. And I think he does custom designs as well. If anybody's looking for something, DM him, see what the story is. But nice guy, just getting started off. So I just said I'd give him a shout out as well.
Good stuff. And also, thanks very much, Kieran. I really appreciate the mug. It was a nice little surprise. He'd kind of given me the heads up, but hadn't said anything to Neil. I knew where they came from.
I thought it was you. I thought it was you that sent it, and I blamed you first off. But no, it wasn't. It was further afield, and really, really thankful for that. Right, so guys, I suppose we'll be back with a Man City preview. We'll see how the players react to training on Sunday. They'll have a couple of days training. You never know, we might even have more transfer news by then. I think it's going to be hot and heavy now for the next 14 days. There hasn't really been any transfer splurge or surge within the Premier League so far. I actually don't even know, has there been a signing within the Premier League so far? Of note, should I say, a signing of note in the Premier League so far. But I'm sure that we will be back as and when things break. It'd be maybe about Monday, I'd say, before we get back to you guys. Maybe Tuesday it'll be Monday when we get back to you with a preview for the City game. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks a million for listening. And all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Up the Villa.
Hold the back page, everybody. Just as we were about to finish up recording this podcast, it's been reported that Morgan Sanson from Marseille is a viable target for Aston Villa. It looks like they are in negotiations for the Marseille central midfielder, and this could be something that is worth reporting on. As I say, it's at the moment, it is a couple of tweets coming out of France, seem to be very, very reputable sources. Obviously, there are some really, really big reputable sources that have mentioned this, but Morgan Sanson is somebody who has drawn attention of a lot of Premier League teams in the last year or 2 years. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Aston Villa were actually linked with him some years ago. I think when he was at Montpellier as well, there was talks that Morgan Sanson was linked with Aston Villa. I couldn't be quite sure as to who was over us at that stage. But I do have a vague memory of maybe of 4 to 5 years ago, Aston Villa being linked with him when he was much younger. 26-year-old, plays usually in a 4-4 or 4-3-3, has played there for Marseille. This year he has been used, he has been started quite a lot, sometimes coming off the bench. He's in the last year of his contract with Marseille at the moment. So, you know, maybe that might dictate his transfer fee a small bit. He's actually an interesting character. I don't know a whole pile about him. Just looking at some statistical analysis of him over the years, he started off a lot more attacking, playing mostly as a kind of a right winger. I'm going to say it, right-sided attacking midfielder on that side of the field. Over the last year or two, he seems to have progressed backwards, back the field towards more of a holding midfielder, more of a deep-lying playmaker. Unfortunately, as I said, that should he be signed, it may be a death knell for the type of player that Conor Horan is. He doesn't have the same industry as a John McGinn, but he is very much so one of those kind of traditional central midfielders, quite good defensively, has an eye for a pass and very, very good technically. Morgan Sanson, you know, he does seem like somebody who will fit into this specific structure that Dean Smith has brought about. Varying degrees of of lies or truths, should I say, with regards to his height. Some places say that he's in and around 6 foot. Other places say he's around 5'10", 5'9". For me, he looks taller than 5'9", 5'10". He could be closer to the 6 foot mark. But he's somebody that's very, very highly thought of. He chips in with goals every so often. He's not a prolific goal scorer. Hasn't been capped by France yet at the age of 26. But he has been in and around a couple of squads. I do know that. He's definitely somebody to keep an eye out for. As I say, I'd be reluctant to go head first in like I did about David Brooks, because I know a bit more about David Brooks. I would need to do a lot more looking up of Morgan Sanson, save for the fact that I remember him signing him in Football Manager. I couldn't really give a massive indication about knowing an awful lot about him, but it's definitely somebody that we should keep an eye on. He is very, very highly thought of within Premier League circles, and Aston Villa now being reported to have registered their interest is something that I think we should all keep an eye on. So just said I'd pop back on and talk a small bit about that, about Morgan Sanson, since it is the news du jour at the moment. See what I did there? Welcoming him already with a bit of French. But as I say, myself and Paddy will be back later on this week with some more information, maybe some if there is any more information breaks, should I say, and we'll do a little preview of the City game. So thanks very much to everybody for listening, and all that's left to say is up the Villa.
Network. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.